This is Sean Kennedy. I'm the editor-in-chief of the American Journal of Nursing, and I'm speaking today with Dr. Cinda Hilton Rushton, Anne and George Bunting Professor of Clinical Ethics, Nursing, and Pediatrics at the Johns Hopkins University. Dr. Hilton was one of two nurses on a committee that recently looked at clinician burnout. The committee was a committee from the National Academy of Medicine, and its charge was to look at clinician burnout among physicians, nurses, and all health professionals, actually. So, Cinda, before we get... Welcome, first of all.
Thank you, Sean.
And before we get into the committee and your work on the committee, can you talk a little bit about your work in this area itself?
Well, that's a great question. I have been working in sort of the space at the intersection of resilience and ethical issues in healthcare for, gosh, three decades, I suppose. A lot of my work was focused on looking at the issue of moral distress, and then about 5 years ago, began to shift my focus to trying to think about what the alternative was and developing the concept of moral resilience, how we can preserve or restore integrity in response to all different types of moral adversity. And so that has necessarily led me to thinking a lot about how do we create individual strategies as well as system strategies to support nurses to do the right thing and to be able to really practice with integrity and to create environments where they practice that actually support them to do that. Mm-hmm. So we've been, for the last number of years now, we've been implementing the Mindful Ethical Practice and Resilience Academy, MEPRA, at the Johns Hopkins Hospital. And we've had over 250 nurses who've participated in it and have some really exciting positive results as a result of that program. Mm. And then we've also been developing a measure of moral resilience and looking at how we can create a culture of ethical practice in healthcare.
So you're well versed in all these reasons for why clinicians are feeling so burned out and emotionally exhausted. And for listeners, we had worked with Dr. Rushton on a supplement on moral distress and resilience, and you can find that on our website, and it's quite a comprehensive look with Dr. Rushton leading the work of several authors and scientists who looked at a summary of the state of the evidence. So getting to this particularly committee report, according to some of the data, over 50% of physicians, or let me say 35 to 54% of nurses and physicians was one of the figures I heard, experienced burnout signs and symptoms. And they also do mention 45 to 60% med students, but I gather there's no look at nursing students in terms of data of this. Is that correct?
Well, so the charge of the committee was really to look at the scientific evidence on the causes of clinician burnout as well as the consequences to both clinicians and patients. And we were charged with trying to identify system changes that could support clinician well-being. And of course, the predominance of evidence has been gathered in physicians, and we have less of that evidence in nurses. And while we have, pretty good evidence, obviously nurses do experience burnout, we don't have quite as much in terms of nursing students. Mm-hmm. But I think we can safely extrapolate that just like students in medicine, nursing students also experience the same kinds of stressors and can experience burnout as well.
Before we get too much into discussing the committee's work, perhaps we should just define for our listeners when we say burnout, what we're talking about.
So burnout is a phenomenon that is actually related to the workplace, and the way that it's often approached is circumstances where the job demands exceed the individual resources or the job resources that a person has. And it results in typically sort of three prominent symptoms: emotional exhaustion, a sense of cynicism, and a sense of lack of personal accomplishment, where we feel like, you know, we're not really able to do a good job in our work. And so when we talk about the prevalence of burnout, often it's that clinicians of whatever type are experiencing symptoms in one of those three categories. And we know that it, from our work in the committee, that it is a very prominent, it is a real experience that many people are experiencing in healthcare.
Now, you mentioned the work of the committee. How does the committee work to end up with the recommendations and findings that they come up with?
So this is the National Academies of Medicine, Science, and Engineering, and the Academy of Medicine was really the lead in this particular report, select a group of content experts, and in our case, there were 17 content experts. Two of those were nurses, myself and Dr. Sharon Pappas, who is chief nurse at Emory Healthcare. And we are given a specific charge, and the charge is very, very specific in terms of what we are to focus on. In this case, it really was the scientific evidence about the causes of burnout, the consequences, and we were also asked to identify if there were evidence-based system strategies that could be recommended to address these issues. So the report itself and the process was focused on clinicians. That included everyone who provides direct patient care. What we found pretty quickly is that the majority of data was derived from physician data, and then next was nursing, and less so in disciplines like pharmacy and dental, and then, you know, other related fields. It is it's a consensus process, and so what's important to realize about consensus is that consensus means that we don't all necessarily agree, but we agree to support the collective conclusions that come from that process of reviewing the evidence. And we reviewed over 4,000 studies to inform this work, so it's very comprehensive look at all the existing data.
And so what were the major findings? Were there any real eye-opening conclusions that are going to start accrediting agencies moving things tomorrow?
Well, you know, I think we'll see. I think one of the things that we found and wasn't completely unexpected is that we don't have a lot of evidence for system approaches to address these issues. And this particular report was very much focused on system intervention, system level intervention. So the recommendations, you know, focus on number one, that burnout's a problem, number two, and that we need system approaches that include collective and coordinated action among everyone, which includes individual clinicians, but very specifically leaders in healthcare organizations and learning organizations where students are being trained to really take a hard look at how the system is either supporting well-being or undermining it and causing burnout. So the first two recommendations are to create positive work environments and positive learning environments. And we know that, you know, the learning environment and the environment where clinicians and nurses ultimately work, sometimes there's a disconnect between those two. So it's important for both of those to be healthy and to learn those skills before clinicians are actually in practice. Then to your point about, you know, What are some of the major causes? Well, one of the recommendations is around it reducing administrative burdens. And we know that often those are driven by laws and regulations, policies, and standard-setting entities, and that those drivers are what increases some of the administrative burden. So, for example, the electronic health record is one area where looking at what are the areas for documentation that are necessary for patient care and what are the areas for financial recovery and financing. How can we look at those in perhaps different ways so that we can identify some places where we can reduce that burden?
That's probably one area where physicians and nurses completely agree, is that the electronic health record has issues for both of them.
Yeah, I think that's true. And perhaps, you know, I think they may have similar reasons, but there may also be some different ones. Mm-hmm. But I think what that points to is that clinicians feel very much distracted from their core purpose, which is to take care of patients. And when that distraction, you know, sort of overwhelms their work, it leads to them feeling like they're not making a positive difference in their work every day, and that contributes to burnout. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, around technology, how do we optimize the use of health information technologies to support clinicians, technology as an enabler of our work rather than a distractor or a detractor to what we're actually trying to do. And one of the areas where I think there's opportunity is to engage frontline clinicians in design and review of new technologies as they're being introduced into healthcare systems so that we can begin to capture more intentionally the consequences. A lot of times we introduce technology and it's not until later that we appreciate the unintended consequences of that new technology.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And then another really important recommendation was around reducing stigma and eliminating barriers that clinicians may feel in getting the support and services they need to actually prevent or alleviate burnout symptoms or even to recover from burnout. So that really points to, state boards of nursing, licensing, regulations, where questions are being asked about both mental health and potentially symptoms of burnout that might be barriers to clinicians actually getting the support they need. Mm-hmm. And that seems like a really important leverage point for us to be able to create systems so that people can get the help they need. Mm-hmm. And then, not surprisingly, the last recommendation is we need a lot more research.
Yeah.
We need, in particular, research that focuses on the evaluation of system-level interventions to remove the impediments in the system that are contributing to the burnout that clinicians are experiencing. And actually, importantly, not only to look at the impact on burnout, but to begin to develop measures that quantify and systematically help us to also capture the opposite or the alternative to burnout, which might be well-being or thriving, and to do both of those measures so that we can get a full picture of, you know, what is it that is depleting people, but also what are the conditions that are actually supporting people to thrive? How do we amplify those?
Yeah, because clinicians often, they're working in the same environment, and some people just get burned out, and others seem to be able to, you know, figure out ways to deal with it. And that is a great point, that, you know, what can we learn from these people who are kind of developing the resilience to deal with this, and what does that look like in terms of skills that we can teach people?
Yeah, I think that's a really important point, Sean. I happen to believe that everyone in healthcare is resilient. Otherwise, they wouldn't be there. Mm-hmm. And I think what we're looking for is how do we actually amplify their resilient potential and remove the barriers and understand what is it that actually helps people to be resilient and to thrive in the midst of the complexity that we're in. That's not going to go away. And that, you know, there is real suffering out there. And I think that's one of the main reasons this report is so important, is that it really acknowledges that people are really struggling, and that it is not a failure of the individual, that burnout is really a work-related hazard. It's not a mental health diagnosis. It's not a failure. It is a response to, you know, work conditions that have caused people to really feel depleted and often despairing. Mm-hmm. So we want to acknowledge that. But I think we also want to offer a vision of hope here, that we do have the skills and capacities to begin to make some change, both in our individual experiences, but importantly in our systems. Mm-hmm. And it's not until we really take on the system to dismantle those barriers that we're going to see real progress. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the main messages of this report, is that we really have got to now focus, as we did in the safety movement, on right. removing those systemic barriers.
Right. This is the same group that focused on patient safety in terms of the quality quality chasm, and looking at all the medication, not the medication errors, but patient safety errors that really cause such profound changes in how we look at a no-blame culture and dealing with patient safety issues. So hopefully this will have that same impetus towards improving the system. And that the fact that there are, for example, your program that you're doing and programs, other programs, for example, the American Association of Critical Care Nurses is focusing on workplace, healthy workplace, and have done surveys and are doing research with some of their members on what matters. So I think nursing in some ways may be ahead of the game in addressing this with their members. Would you agree with
really
that?
Yeah, I think it's a really important point, Sean, and that is that, you know, AECN and their Standards for a Healthy Work Environment have, you know, been doing that work now for over a decade, and they do have some important results. In addition to that is, you know, the impact of the MAGNET program on beginning to shift systems in a way that actually support, you know, high-quality nursing practice. And so there's opportunities, I think. Nurses have recognized these problems for decades, and I think the report is really a call to action to say, okay, we actually have some work that's already been done that we can amplify, and we can use this report to move us further. Mm-hmm. So, for example, the MAGNET program, those strategies impact nursing care, but they really really impact the whole transdisciplinary team. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. So how can we expand both those standards and the healthy work environment standards in a way that they can be applied to the whole healthcare team mm-hmm. and, you know, hospital systems? So I do think we've got some work that we can really build on and are proud of to be able to leverage into this conversation. Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk a little bit about the work that you've done with the committee on this. And the report is called Taking Action Against Clinician Burnout, A Systems Approach to Supporting Professional Well-Being. And the report is available and free to download at the National Academy site, which is nam.edu/clinician-well-being-study. So download the report and view it, and I hope nurses who do that will get involved with their governance committees and administration at the hospital and start to work towards all that we've talked about. So thank you very much, Cinda, for doing this.
Thank you so much, Sean. I just want to add one more thing.
Sure.
You know, I think sometimes, you know, when we start talking about systems, it feels like that's above my pay grade. But I would really like all nurses to see themselves as being part of the solution. And no matter what your role is in whatever specialty, we all have a stake in trying to create systems that really support us to provide high-quality nursing care and to really support our integrity. So to think about what is your unique contribution and what is your sphere of influence and what's one thing you can start doing that will begin to start shifting the way that we think about this issue and how we respond to it.
That's a great point, and a great point to end on. Thanks again.